still the original, still the best, now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit TFormers.com.
And yet, almost none of those people are here.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny.
I'm J.D. Church, filling in for Brian Kilby this week.
I remember you... to be on RFC a long time ago.
Yes, there was a time when this bald fat man was on RFC.
Not to be confused with Brian Kilby, the other bald fat man.
Right. Is he? He's not that. Well, I guess he shaves it, I guess. He shaves his head.
Yeah. Same difference.
Yeah. This is all natural. Don't even have to, put a razor to it. So I've got Rob Clay, XV, and Lady Wreck Amy.
Hello.
With me this week. People that are here, thank you. So, Brian had a lapse in judgment and put me in charge of the show this week.
And after listening to what JD's become after being on Superhero Time for a few months.
Yeah, JD's a bit raw. If you just listen to Fanboy Versus, it will seem the same. But if you listen to Superhero Time, there's this other JD that's on that show. He's a little different. You should listen. Check it out. It'll scare you. So,
but it'll be so entertaining that you won't even remember.
And make sure it's an episode. Yeah, make sure it's an episode 2 with Mickey on it, because then that is pure win. Let me tell you.
It's like you know, Superhero Time on crack, right?
Or something on something.
Nobody does crack anymore. It's all meth.
It's all meth. Yeah, meth is definitely the choice. But I've got my Galvatron shirt on, and I'm ready to go.
You can't see that, but...
So, do what?
But we're just happy you have a shirt on, JD.
It is, because on Superhero Time, I don't. We'll leave it at that. So I was very excited this week.
If anybody wondered why Superhero Time was not on video regularly...
Right. Well... Watch that one video episode, and I think you'll learn why. So I was pretty excited this week. I'll just go ahead and confess. I've become a scalper. you know. But, hey, it's a hobby. It keeps me busy. You know. I have a lot of free time. My wife is in Florida for the summer. So, anyway, so I've been hitting a lot of stores lately, and Ross is now getting in Dark of the Moon figures. So I was very excited this week. I picked up a figure I had waited on, which is this... Voyager Sentinel, which is actually pretty cool. Mech Tech, actually pretty nifty. But, and that was like $12, $13, I think. So, not bad. I mean, Walmart had those at like $15 for a while, but that's still $2 less, so.
And now they're back up to $20.
Yeah, they're back up to $20, so you still can't get it. So even though those figures are on the shelf at Walmart, you would pay $7 extra for it. It's definitely, I mean, it still feels maybe a little overpriced at like $12 or so, but I don't feel too bad. I'm hoping those leaders will show up there, because then I would get that leader sentinel for sure. That would be sweet.
I hear leader sentinels fairly complex.
That sounds awesome. I like that, though. A little, depending,
maybe,
you know.
Not in a good way, though.
Not in a good way? Well, see, then I would just put him... See, I've got this, the huge shelf, right here, and he would go, like, there, in robot mode. Just, like, on the top shelf, like, robot mode, right next to, like, my Ultimate Optimus, you know?
This goes in the Never Transforming It Again.
Yes, it does! Like, right along with the Starscream, the enormous Starscream from Cybertron.
There's, I always want to get one of those.
Oh, my God, that's I'll sell it to you for, like... $30, $40,
$40, no, $35,
no,
$30. I don't think so. $32. That thing's gonna cost a lot to ship too.
$31.
Yeah.
$32.
Okay, $31 with shipping maybe.
$32 plus shipping.
No, not plus shipping.
Am I not doing this right? This is what the guy at BotCon did. I don't know why. That's what a guy at Botgon did to me. I was trying to buy a Forza, and he apparently didn't like the price, and so he kept going up from, like, his low bid. I was like, oh, you're a bad person, word that I won't use on this show. So.
But you will on the pre-show.
But I would on the pre-show.
Oh, he'll use all kinds of words on the pre-show.
I dropped a lot of bombs on the pre-show, so y'all missed out. We'll just put it that way. Anyway, let's talk about some news real quick, because Peter and I didn't do this ahead of time. I'm not really sure why, to be honest.
Thank you a lot, Peter.
So there's this thing.
See what happens to you next week.
Yeah, see, Peter and I are supposed to do the news segment ahead of time. And he talked to me today about recording one tomorrow, and I'm like, okay, why are we doing one tomorrow for next?
Next week?
Yeah, it didn't make sense. Now, I mean, at the time, I was, like, busy, and I was actually, like, really inside my head at the moment. But, and so now that I think about it, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing, anyway, this is all behind-the-scenes stuff that nobody cares about, so I don't know why we're talking about it. Animated's coming to the Hub in July.
Yay!
Very happy to hear about this.
That's awesome.
People will actually be able to watch season 3 again.
Yeah,
it'd be great. And it might be in HD.
Yeah, like really in HD. Instead of like not in HD or like the DVDs that they put out, which is so strange.
Yeah.
You know, Animated was produced in widescreen HD, and it's never been broadcast that way either here or in Japan.
Yeah, that's so lame.
Supposedly, Cartoon Network never even asked for the HD masters that existed.
Wow. That is sad. Well, hopefully, I'm sure Hub will do it. I mean, they love the HD stuff, so.
Yeah, because they know how to do stuff better.
Even though 95% of their audience does not get them in HD.
Which, yeah. I don't know. Am I going to lose? I have to cut back on some of my cable. I'm poor right now. I wonder if I'll lose that.
Do you get Hub in HD right now?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that would kind of suck then if you lost that.
I know. I don't want to do that.
Maybe you could just, like, turn the water off instead.
Sure, I don't need water. I'm sure my coworkers would be fine with me not bathing. You know?
Wow.
Stank, oh, fat man. I'm sure that would be pleasant. God. Okay. On to other things, because, I mean, what can you say?
Mitch,
awesome.
What we're going for here is to make Brian never want JD on the show.
That's the idea. We are trying to sabotage this show so horribly.
I'm starting to rethink my reason for coming on the show.
That's why I didn't even, like, I didn't even question. You were like, oh, sure. I'm like, okay, cool. We do not want her to question that decision at all. All right. Arms
it's
Master.
Late now.
Yeah, I know. You're stuck. Arms Master Optimus Prime with Matrix Sword of Awesome thing.
That is a big sword.
It is. It is rather large.
It's a big sword on the bigger Optimus toy, too. That's the leader-sized weaponizer one.
Is it really? Wow.
Yeah.
And didn't we see a shield thing, like, last week or something?
The shield thing is... Japanese Toys R Us exclusive with the Voyager size armed Micron Optimus.
I want both of these things now.
But the shield minicons will come out in the capsule version, so you can get those without having to buy the toy.
Oh, sweet. Nice. So I'll do that.
Just nice. Not in that color scheme.
But you're going to have to buy the toy to get this, right? I mean, that's going to be...
Yeah.
So it's Japanese...
We can tell that Matrix is not itself a minicon.
Yeah, just the blade, it looks like. Like, part of the blade.
I mean, there's no identifiable robot parts on it, which, with these arms minicons, that's not necessarily a definitive thing, but...
Well, you can see in the picture, like, if you follow the arrows, you can see where, like, the minicon becomes, like, a blade thing, and then it's showing, like, sort of both of them going together to make, like, the blade thing with the Matrix thing. Yeah, this is terribly descriptive for those of you just listening.
The Blade Minicon is just a rerun of what Red Alert came with in Japan, or Ratchet came with in Japan.
Oh, cool.
So.
That's fine. That's kind of nifty, though. So, that's going to run, how many yen does it say on here?
That's going to be about $100. Probably
a little more. That's a lot of scalping. That's a lot of scalping.
I really like that thing in sword mode, and I'm not really thrilled with it as a matrix, especially in the truck mode where it looks like Optimus is hauling a giant space pretzel.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about.
You really need a flatbed for that thing. There's some, I'm telling you.
There's some salt and cheese on that, and you're good to go. Okay, cool. $100. Man,
And the same Optimus toy without the Matrix will be like 35 here.
God, that does hurt my gut. Okay, so Prime Unicron, maybe it's a Takara exclusive. Are we shocked? I'm not shocked.
No.
Okay.
Have we seen what that transforms into yet?
A ball of spikes, probably. I mean, I don't know what else would it... I haven't seen a regular picture of it. I've only seen the outlines. So, I don't know. Oh, the cow has died.
Oops.
He'll be back. that's XV, by the way. He's gone for a second.
Oops.
Those of you in the audio-only version. So you know what we're talking about. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I've only seen the outline image of that. I haven't seen, like, the actual full deal. So I don't know. I don't know what that... What, if anything, it turns into? Well, I guess I would have to turn into something, but...
I saw the really fuzzy picture from Tokyo Toy Show last week, but nothing really... Nothing in whatever the alternate mode is, and nothing that was really good quality picture.
That is so... I mean, just from, like, the outline, it looks so spiky. I don't know how they could get that through and sell it here. I mean, because in Japan, they'll sell, like, a bag of knives, you know, to kids, but here... You know, there's, like, requirements and stuff. You know, it's like, here's a box of razor blades, kids. You know,
every
Gitter
Robo figure I've ever bought from Japan has had an axe sharp enough to cut me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, that's part of the fun in Japan. You know, it's like, can you play with this and not injure yourself? But here, you know, it's like...
I'm trying to think what the best Japanese toy I got was that had a blade that I was actually afraid of injuring myself on.
God, I... Probably.
There's been a couple Gundams like that, but that's been a couple of years ago now. There was something a lot more recent, but I can't think of it offhand.
It's like that. Well, I mean, think about like the, like, you know, I got my first figure art Forza a couple weeks ago, and it's like filled with little parts swallow. You know,
Gokai Red has that big big sword.
Oh yeah, God, that's like kill people's sword. And then, but it's like. It's like, you know, the Forza stuff with all the little switches, it's like, here's a bag of choke hazards, you know? It's like, Jesus. So, you know, they just don't have the same regulations as we do. But, yeah, I imagine that, yeah, I'm not surprised. So, yeah, expect to get your wallet beaten to a pulp between this awesome sword Optimus and... probably a Japanese exclusive, Takara exclusive Unicron. So, good luck with that, kids. Man, we're losing XV like left and right here. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Alas.
Yeah.
So, SavCon is this weekend.
It happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot, actually. You'd be surprised how often it happens on Superhero Time.
Oh, yes.
You know, we just gloss over it. He edits the heck out of that show. So you never notice. But anyway, on to more important things. SavCon is this weekend. So that's cool. They've got a lot of stuff going on out there, I think.
I wish I was going, but I'm not able to.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't after, you know, doing BotCon and everything. And my wife is actually not – I guess she is. She drove past there a few weeks ago, but yeah, alas, I could not make it to – SavCon, but Brian, I think Brian's going to be there, right? Actually, that's where he's at. That's why he's not here, I think.
I think the cow got XV.
I think the cow got, man, XV's got to be cussing up a storm right now. yeah, I think that's where Brian is. Of course, Rob Springer's out there. He's helping run the whole thing. So if you're in the Atlanta area, and then or Savannah, I guess, Georgia area, I'm sorry. You should go check it out. Should be a lot of fun. They've got a lot of great guests, too. I don't have the guest list right in front of me, I don't think. Let me see if I can pull it up. Well, we're stalling for XV to come back. I do not have it right in front of me, but it should be a lot of fun. Is there any other news I can pick apart? We'll see real quick.
That's any more news that we need to pick apart?
Yeah, I was trying to see if there was anything real quick that I wanted to mention. I guess we saw that Steve Jablonski is going to do the TF4 score as well, so that's exciting. Yeah, I don't know. So, Amy, you want to talk about comics?
Sure, I can talk about that. Comics. Yeah,
that'd be great. Could you recycle your video for me real quick? I'm sorry. Okay.
Turn it back on.
It froze. It's probably me. There's XV. He's back. But anyway, we're going to let Amy... We're going to sit quietly and let you talk about comics and only make fun of a few things.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I didn't get a chance to make a video this week, so I'm going to just do a chat in the actual show, and we'll see how it goes. So, out this week, we've got the Transformers Facebook page has Robots in Disguise issue number 6 commentary on it. If you can't find it, you can find my Facebook page by searching Lady Rec, and I've got it shared there. So, because a lot of things get posted on the Transformers Facebook page sometimes. Things can get lost. So if you want to go read it, you can find it there. Or you can find it on my Facebook page. So September solicits detail, the Robots in Disguise annual issues, Robots in Disguise issue number 9 and More Than Meets the Eye issue number 9. It also has Regeneration 1 issue number 83. And we are also getting in September the IDW Collection Volume 7. Also on here that I did not expect, they're going to be publishing, IDW will be publishing the Art of Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron art book, which I'm really happy about because, yeah, I've put out a petition for them to do one like that. So I just didn't expect IDW to be doing that. So I thought, oh, cool. That's awesome. So all good stuff in September and I'm looking forward to everything that's coming out that month, so it all sounds good to me. So, lastly, the final issue of Autocracy 12 came out today on digital. So, that trade and the fans that are holding out for it is coming out next month in July. So, you can pick up this bad boy from your local comic shop. Or you can pre-order and have it delivered to your house in August from Amazon. So comic, it's out today, the issue number 12, like I said. So quick review. There were a few things that I had expected to happen in the last issue. There would be a big confrontation between Megatron and Optimus Prime, that the bots that were picketing in the street would have some pain and need saving. And then Megatron would retreat. Metroplex would probably make an appearance because he's making the rounds in Transformers fiction lately. But what I did not expect was the reenactment of the 1986 movie where Hot Rod interferes. And in the movie, Optimus Prime gets shot and killed. But in this, he transforms and he gets away and Megatron is the one that gets shot. So I did not expect that. I'm not sure if it needed that, but it is in fact what we got, and I was all right with it. It was kind of funny, made me chuckle that, yeah, okay, so Rodimus had his vindication moment. And then, of course, it all ends very well. There's a one other little twist in there that I didn't see coming that I thought was pretty cool, too. But in all, it was all right. It was a very predictable close, and I was all right with it, so... I'll have a more in-depth review of that on The Underbase. If anybody is interested, they can go check it out at The Underbase at Libsyn.com. And that's pretty much the comics for this week. So, yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. Thank you. Very good. Do we have XV or is he just not on video, is it?
I think he's...
He's gone.
God,
still struggling.
Fortunately.
I'm still dead. It's no good. All right, cool. Thank you, Amy. Very nice. Oh. For being on the spot, that was pretty awesome.
Thanks. So, I'm like, oh, I all of these I usually put in like video, and I put like all the pretty pictures and stuff. I was like, oh, I didn't do that. Darn it. Nah. I might throw a little bit of that in next week's review. So
sweet.
Check it out. Yeah.
Cool. Good deal. Well, tell you what. Let's go to something else that you did this week, which is was it Rescue Center? Then is the
Rescue Center review? Yes,
Rescue Center review.
Nicole.
Yes, Nicole. Nicole. She's on Fanboy Versus with me. She's awesome. So yeah. We will go to that, and then we will be back.
Yes. Hello, welcome back to the Rescue Bots review with your adorable dynamic duo. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick. How are you?
I'm great. And today we are doing a quick review of the Griffin Rock Triangle that just premiered this last week. Basically, it's your Rescue Bots and the Underwater Adventure. It felt like those movies where, you know, they dive down to find the ship that's sunk or whatever, and that's been down there for such and such amount of time or whatnot. And it really worked for me. Like the one that came to mind was The Abyss. I don't know if you've seen The Abyss.
Oh yes, I love The Abyss.
Minus the aliens that lived underneath the water.
there's stuff that lived down there.
Yeah, they do have aliens, which are robots, obviously.
Yes.
That go to save them. But it wasn't something that they found when they went under the water. So, but that's what it kind of reminded me of. It's like, oh yeah, you know, all those movies that were there underwater and they work underwater or whatever. This was that show, and I thought, okay, that was kind of interesting, especially how the beginning started with the ship being sunk down into the wherever it went.
It was sucked in.
Like, oh my gosh. You know? I thought this was going to be that show where they're having to just like the whole time save Danny or something. And I was like, oh wow, no, it's actually flipped it on its head and did something completely different that I did not expect. So yeah, that was really cool that they did that.
Because the last time I checked, helicopters don't do too well underwater.
No, not at all. And I thought it was pretty interesting how they're airtight, and the ship that went under had an airtight room as well. I thought,
yeah, see, yeah, that's right. One part about this particular episode. You've got to suspend your belief in what you know.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
But there's a few things I had a problem with. Like, they call it the Griffin Rock Triangle. Where's the triangle? It was just a spot.
You know? I think they're going off the whole Bermuda Triangle thing.
Bermuda Triangle,
so, yeah. I think I remember something about, I haven't had a chance to do a whole lot of research, but the whole idea that this methane causes the buoyancy of the ships to I think I remember reading somewhere that actually being something that actually does happen. I don't know. I'll have to do a little bit of research when we actually do our full video review and all that and see if that's exactly what it is.
I remember something about methane gas with the whole BP oil spill.
I mean, it sounded kind of cool. I was like, oh, wow. I think I remember hearing something somewhere that said that. If it doesn't, you know, I could be wrong. I haven't researched. It sounded really cool to me, though. Yeah. But yeah, and I really like the fact that the scientists that they found, you know, in the show, there's a scientist that does all this research, and you know, they find her research, and they made a logical reason for all of those tunnels underneath the firehouse. I thought, cool, I love that.
Yeah. Talking about the scientists, do like all scientists just commune to Griffin Rock? Is it kind of like a convention area for
it
scientists?
Must be. Absolutely.
You know?
Wow. Yeah.
But the one thing that I did like about the show was the very end, where you got kind of a little happy ending there with, you know, I can't remember her name, the female scientist and Doc Green. I'm like,
Anna Barry. Anna Barry Nova. Anna Baranova is her name.
That's her name, yeah. I thought that was really cute with them at the end.
Yeah, that little, oh, we might have some romance vibe going on with Doc Green.
I know. It's not Chief Burns getting the romance like we were hoping.
Yeah.
But
it's Doc Green. the zany, you know, scientists
little kids
getting together.
Still know that there's something good, you know, about relationships between a man and a woman. You know, it's really sweet. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Kind of adorable, especially when, you know, she kind of treated everybody so coldly and she was all bossy afterwards. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, you know, being alone for, what, 28 years?
True.
Do it to a person.
It makes sense. It makes sense. So, but
I
yeah,
hope she had fresh water to shower.
Yeah, I hope she did too. She's not looking as young as she was in the videos, though. It's like,
yeah,
I like
I
how
did
they
like
aged
that.
Her.
I
it
did.
Was really awesome. Yeah.
I did like how they did the age progression on her, so.
Yeah. Cool. All right, well,
yeah,
is there anything
it was
else
a
that you
cute
wanna...
little episode, you know, and you just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like I said, you have to suspend your beliefs in pretty much a lot of things, but it's just fun. Get over it, people.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was kind of cool, too, that the bots, all of the Burnses get inside the bots, and they go in the bots down to go find them. And I thought, you know, when we've talked about, like, you know, how does water pressure and all that affect these guys later, you know, that type of thing. I thought it was kind of cool that they were getting to go walk around and the robots down in the ocean. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Who needs a submersible when you have robots?
Exactly. Oh, goodness. These are not those robots that transform that you have to be outside of them to be, you know, no, they have compartments for their human components inside. This is really good.
I'd like to think they like to take care of the humans when they're inside.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mother with her child, you know, very protective. But you still don't want to tick them off because they can do some damage from
them. Yes, they can. So. I think that's probably about 5 minutes, so...
Yeah, go out, have fun, watch it.
Go out, have it, yeah, watch it, and then come and check out our longer review of this episode, which we'll probably do in a couple weeks. Maybe two weeks or something like that. Yeah.
Yep, 2 weeks.
And, we'll give you a better or more in-depth review of this specific episode and what we really thought about it. So, yeah.
Awesome. We'll see what lies in the mysteries of the deep.
The deep. And we'll see you next week.
Aloha.
Be almost back now, right?
We are back. Good timing, XV.
Yes,
like,
great.
Psychotic with it.
If there's one thing you can call XV, it's psychotic.
Psychotic for sure. We are so excited to be back. Thank you, Amy and Nicole, for... that review of Rescue Bots.
On behalf of Nicole, thank you.
Rescue Bots, one of my favorite scalping items. So anyway.
Awesome. They are pretty awesome.
Oh, my God. XV and I made a killing on blades. I even gave one away and still profited. So
that's cool. That's cool.
That's amazing.
I found two, and I knew Nicole had been looking for one. So I gave one to her. And sold the other and still, I think, came out ahead decently. So, yeah. Anyway, so if you find blades, there you go. They're money. Just letting you know, for whatever reason that you might want to know that. So, yeah, we're stalling for time now because, you know, we got a show to fill. And JD is usually really good about bloating the shows, and I'm doing fail at that right now. Oh, one thing I will say, I did pick up the Breakdown Cyberverse figure.
Nice.
It's kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's decent, except for, you know, being really tiny compared to Cyberverse Bulkhead, which kind of bugs me.
Well, those are two different classes, though. The Cyberverse Bulkhead is the
Commander.
What are they? Commander class. So they're... I mean, that's basically the difference between, like, a basic and a deluxe, so...
Yeah, they're...
Well, yeah, but, I mean, even so, in that case, it's like, okay, why don't these reoccur at each other's sizes?
Yeah,
well,
that would be nice.
Aren't we going to get a Voyager, though, of the regular Breakdown?
Yes.
Maybe?
So, maybe. Well, because... And that would be the same size as the Bulkhead with the really bad weapon.
Yeah, but... You know, looking at Cyberverse as a thing unto itself, which you know, the way I see it, it kind of is. It really is kind of a thing, I think, that, you know, Bulkhead and Breakdown are not really comparable. I kind of think what they were trying to do is have Breakdown be in the same basic you know, scale maybe as Knockout, who's coming with the Energon Driller. But I don't know.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that sort of makes sense, I guess. But this is a horrible weapon, by the way. The Bulkhead Voyager wannabe mech tech weapon.
You know, it's actually not that bad if you disable the spring.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got it, because you've got it set open then, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still not the same, though, because, I mean, the whole thing is it's supposed to be on the end of his hand. And it, I don't know.
It's not.
It's not, you know.
Actually, not like the day that the Bulkhead figure's pretty decent otherwise.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice figure. I like it. Actually, I mean,
I don't want a first edition anymore.
I'm okay with not having a first edition. I mean, it's a really solid figure, so.
Yeah,
I'd like to be able to pay $20 for the first edition a year ago. But as it is, this is good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I mean, yeah. So, no, I mean, it's solid to pick up. I want to try the, I don't have Starscream. I need to get the Starscream, too. Wait, is that going to be one of the club exclusive, like,
yeah,
if you do the mail away?
The first edition Starscream mold is going to be,
That's going to be Slipstream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
In the subscription service.
I think I'm going to pay for the subscription service by selling the figures I don't want.
I imagine there's going to be a few people planning that same thing.
Yeah, but they may not be selling the same ones I would sell, so...
Well, no, I'm just saying I don't think you're the first one to strike a plan.
Oh, no, I'm not saying, like, that's an amazing revelation idea. Yeah. You know, no, I don't want... I'm not trying to pretend that's, like, an original thing, no.
Once that starts, they'll be able to get a pretty good sense of what's a good figure and what isn't by looking at how many are up on eBay.
Yeah, that's supposed to start in 4 weeks from BotCon. So, so it's supposed to have been up 3 weeks ago. Cool.
Well, I believe the script reading was supposed to be up 2 weeks after BotCon.
The script reading was supposed to be up 2 weeks out of BotCon, so that was supposed to be up about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That script reading will never end up. It was so poorly done. Well, and it wasn't their fault per se.
They had technical issues.
They had technical issues, and then they didn't pay attention to where they were in relation to the camera. So there's a lot of points at which their heads were like going in front and back and forth on the camera.
There's also this really great extended sequence of Pete Sinclair's back.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, like they weren't like, I don't know, they just weren't very camera conscious. You know, I was watching the camera feed going.
And see, I don't even care about the video for that. Just, you know, release the audio.
Hey, release the audio.
That's what really matters. Is the audio, right?
Yeah. I mean, the audio was kind of crap, too.
It's great for people who weren't there to see Buster Jones be completely lost.
Oh, man. I felt so bad for him. That's got to be another factor in there because, man, it's almost embarrassing to him, you know, in that way.
It's a little bit
well,
sad.
Well, he's not still working as a voice actor,
He
right?
wasn't before or since, no. I mean, this was like his first and only, I think, voice acting
It's gig. Understandable. I mean, it really kind of is.
No, I mean...
Yeah, I don't...
Once you like had any time to see him doing it at the voice acting panel, or even the stories of the autograph session, you know, it's just this is not something that is in his consciousness anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
He's way out of the field with it now.
I mean, it was totally cool for them to like track him down. It was completely awesome for him to come out there. He will never do it again. So if you missed it, that's it.
It's like Jim Burns all over again.
Yeah, totally.
I bet it was really good, though, for him to see that a lot of people still really do enjoy him, even though he's not working and producing and putting stuff into the Transformers fandom. He's still, you know, fondly remembered.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that comes across. I mean, that's the thing, is right, you know, right? It's like,
People got a kick out of him being there, you know. Yeah. As long as he realized that, I don't think it's something he will, like, have regretted doing.
Yeah.
Well, I sure hope not.
Yeah, and I hope, like I said, I hope, one, he doesn't regret doing it too much, and I hope it's, you know, like I said, I doubt he'll do it again, you know, but we'll see. I mean, maybe not BotCon, maybe he would do a smaller con or something, or maybe he was just like, these people are crazy. These people are just insane. I want no part of this whatsoever. No.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, tell you what. Speaking of past insane shows and insane things, let's take and speaking of cassettes and people that were dealing with Blaster, Rewind? See it?
Seriously?
Ah, I got there. No, I got there, man. I totally got there. You didn't think I would get there, and I totally got there. It's going to be time for Transformers Rewind.
Very nice.
Buster Jones nice played Blaster. One of his cassettes was Rewind. I'm just saying. It fits. I will never host the show again. So, that was so bad for XV, he, like, completely DL'd. That's awesome. All right. We will be...
and then he dropped out of the call.
That's it. He was like, I'm done. All right. Let's do Transformers Rewind, and we will be white whack.
Radio Free Cybertron. Transformers Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, this is why I hate machines.
No, I don't want to speak to your supervisor. I'm going straight to your CEO. That's right, Isaac Sumdack. And don't even think about putting me on hold. The only thing I hate more than machines is tech support for machines.
In this episode, Ratchet and Fanzone get sucked through the Sumdack Tower space bridge and land on Cybertron, where Fanzone is given a warm reception by the locals, as in they want to kill it with fire.
You've never seen a human before.
Ew! Step on it!
Hey!
Cybertron has become a police state under Sentinel Magnus. To make things worse, Omega Supreme, now largely under Megatron's control, emerges from hiding within the storm cloud over Cybertron. Ratchet and Fanzone have to evade the elite guard while trying to keep Shockwave from getting Omega's activation codes, which now only exist in the head of the comatose RC.
I say we fire on Omega Supreme. If we strike now, we could end the Decepticon threat forever.
We could also end Cybertron. With as much transwarp energy as he's absorbed, blowing up Omega Supreme could take out the entire planet.
I brought you here to keep an optic on you, not for your opinion.
Ratchet is a great asset. His experience with Omega Supreme exceeds even mine.
You named me Acting Magnus to make the tough decisions. Do you want to go down in history as the bots that let Megatron get away? Don't we owe this to Ultra Magnus?
Your council will deliberate.
What's to deliberate? Omega Supreme is one of us, an Autobot, a friend.
I'm one circuit on him and you'll answer to me.
You may have Omega Supreme, but he would never attack Cybertron.
That's the beauty of activation codes. They wipe clean all that unpleasant morality.
If you're getting those codes out of me, you'll have to download them from my cold offline processor. See my partner here? He's an organic. You've heard about organics, haven't you?
Get that thing away from me!
Let's make this nice and easy, huh? You give us what we want.
And he won't give you this.
Okay, 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 you win. I'll get you an access card. Just back off.
That's going back to Earth, right?
Only one way to find out.
Not so fast. Hand over the hammer. It belongs to the elite guard.
It belongs to Ultra Magnus. We'll give it to him when he wakes up.
So this was pretty close to the end of Transformers Animated and was really setting up all the elements needed for the last two episodes. Do you think the episode suffered for having to fill that role?
Maybe a little. They squeezed in a lot. One thing I really liked about Animated was that it squeezed in all of these nerd references, and this episode really did.
Oh, it was overflowing.
It was overflowing.
Yeah.
It was almost a little too much.
Well, I mean, the first Transformer that almost steps on Fanzone was Grandis.
Yeah. Right, which is why I would say that he really had a grand reception when he came to... you missed an opportunity.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I really like the phrase, kill it with fire, so yes. I had to work that in there.
That's true as well. Fire.
Fire is
that's
good.
It. Yeah.
Did you guys notice that Optimus Prime was not in this episode at all?
Yeah.
But David Kaye still had a role.
Yes, he did.
Who did he play?
He was the voice of the security robots.
Gotcha.
Right.
On the Sumdeck Tower.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
I can pick out David Kaye a mile off.
Oh, I know. There's...
David Kaye came and asked us for tissues at BotCon. It was kind of
crazy. That was awesome. Brian, they're like sitting there with our phones charged, and he comes out, you guys have any Kleenexes? I'm like, I do not, sir. I'm sorry. But, no, I mean, this episode is, you know, like I said, being on Cybertron, it's that perfect time that Wyatt loves to throw in as many,
G1
models as he possibly can.
And the G1ified Beast Wars model.
Yeah, because there's a rat trap.
Yeah, rat trap. I was trying to figure out, I was like, is that Heinrad or is that Randy? Or is that, okay, no, it's rat trap.
Rat trap can be without being a rat.
Yeah.
Well, you really, it's really clear, you know, watching this, having been watching Prime a lot more, too, how much, Prime Ratchet is based on, you know, this new
animated
version of Ratchet.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, G1 Ratchet was cantankerous, too. Don't forget that.
He was kind of like jolly cantankerous.
Yeah, but he was also... still pretty flat. I mean, the real, except not counting, I guess, in the comic to an extent, but the real Ratchet that, you know, we got with characterization was the Prime Ratchet, who is kind of badass. I mean, pardon me, Animated Ratchet. Prime Ratchet's awesome, too.
Right.
But Prime Ratchet, really, you're right, does owe his characterization to Animated.
Oh, yeah, and I think Animated Ratchet kind of, like, set the mark for what the common Ratchet is. Going forward, you know, the movie characters, they're all basically just blank slates. Nobody's developing them because they're, you know, the alien robots in the movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, having two in a row like this, it really seems like, okay, that's the focus of where this character type is going now. And I'm okay with that. It's been done really well both times.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt that this episode was a Ratchet episode, and Ratchet is probably... He is definitely my favorite character from the whole series, and I would say the best character in the series.
Well, and, you know, of course, it's Ratchet and Captain Fanzone, who is one of the best human characters in
ever.
Transformers.
Yeah, in Transformers, yeah. Period.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's one of the best human characters in the series, too, but in all of Transformers, he's one of the best.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, the two of them together, it's like a whole buddy cop thing, and it really works.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even though it has, like, some of the grosser elements, like when Fanzone is, like, the loogie on...
Rat Trap.
God. I think it's just the little nobules at the bottom that were drawn in that just really sold that as just being nasty. Ugh. But I think it's funny because, you know, basically all of Cybertron is basically just the... direct opposite of Fanzone, and I think that's what made it kind of funny. Because all of Cybertron is sort of afraid of organics, and Fanzone hates machines, and so it made for this really interesting, you know, conflicting interest where he wanted nothing to do with them, and they wanted nothing to do with him, and yet, you know, continually coming in. But, you know, like Fanzone, I think he showed his value as a person, as a character, you know, picking up that Jazz was trailing him and, you know, figuring out that there would be a rat trap.
Yep, used his cop instincts.
Yeah. I mean, it totally worked with the setup of the episode. And then we also find out, since the start of the season, when Shockwave mortally wounded Ultra Magnus, that Sentinel's taken over and basically the whole planet's going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's a loser.
Sentinel is awesome. He is my second favorite character for that show.
He's a great character, but he's definitely not, like, he's like a Rodimus quality leader, if not.
Oh, well, actually, I can't argue with that.
Rodimus was a much better administrator than Sentinel Magnus.
He just wasn't a great field commander.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Good administrator, not good field commander.
This Sentinel is, of course, the best Sentinel Prime in all of Transformers, just like Fanzone's the best human.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. God, yeah. At least the most interesting version.
Well, and then, see, that's the thing, too. You know, Marty Eisenberg was a story editor for Transformers Animated, and, you know, a lot of what came out of Animated has really resonated. It's, you know, held up as really the best of what we've got over the whole course of Transformers as a whole.
Yep.
And this episode really shows off those qualities. And, of course, then we get the callback to RC from, what was it, the first season, wasn't it?
Yeah, because didn't that come up during, like, the whole thing with Lockdown?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Man, it's been forever since I watched this.
I know.
Yeah, really. And see, that's the thing with me. Animated was really compelling and interesting while it was on, and then after it ended, it's like, what was I doing again?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where the elements of the series are larger than the series itself. I don't think that there was anything particularly, like, as a series, as a story as its whole, I don't know that there was anything about the whole story that was great, but the elements of what happened in Animated were so good, and that's what's carried over, I think, in the fiction. It's carried over into Prime, it's carried over just into the mindset, I think, of a lot of people.
Into the popular opinion of the show. I mean, it was really lovingly crafted, and that's what's so great about this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this episode was a perfect example of that.
Hey, guess what? We're coming back! Woohoo! Rob Clay was just asking me a terribly interesting question, which was, do I have any more Cyberverse figures? Of which I do have Cliffjumper, but I think he's in the other room. I don't think he's here. So
Cliffjumper is so close to being a great figure. I mean, if his hip joints actually worked, you know? He has the most articulation of anything in the line if he could actually move his legs.
Yeah. Can it, I don't know. I'm trying to, it's been a while since I just said put it in my hand. I don't have it in my hand, but yeah, I guess so.
Is this Transformers Prime Cliffjumper that we're talking about?
The small one, the Cyberverse one.
Okay, the one that has I think I have that one.
God, I love the arms on that. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is a surprising. It's the first Prime figure that I bought, and I was not displeased with it. You know, and that's the thing. The Cyberverse line is actually not bad. I mean, if you're really looking for like an economy line of figures, like if you're not like really wanting to spend a lot of money and you're just wanting small figures, I've been happy with every figure I bought. Even the Viacon one's not bad.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that. It, you know, maybe not, you know, this year or the next year, but ultimately, I kind of think the Cyberverse scale is going to end up being the future of Transformers simply because of the, you know, economic side of it. Because I really would like to get more deluxes, but $13 a figure really hurts.
Man, I tell you, especially when those used to be like $8, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And they were bigger at $8, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real catch. So, yeah, I don't know. I've kind of gotten into this smaller figure. I went and I picked up, of course, all the. I did not have any of the like Legends G1 Classics until a couple weeks ago, and I went and picked up. I have a whole set of those, and man, I dig this Starscream out of this. And I was looking at the mold, and it's actually really easy to retool. They could totally do, like, all 6 original Seekers. I mean, obviously, they can do the Thundercracker and Skywarp. That's the same thing. But as far as doing the others, there's really only 2 pieces that are mirrored that they, you know, mirror pieces, a left and a right, essentially, that they would have to change because of the way the mold is done for the wings and fins. Those are only total 4 separate pieces. And the head will already do the cone head thing because of the way the head is set. The head is set as the cone. So you could literally do, you know, ramjet, dirge, and thrust off of this mold super easy just by changing the two main wings and then the two tail fins and stuff. So, and, you know, the Optimus is probably the weakest of that set, but it's still not bad. It's still a pretty decent even Optimus figure off of that.
The only one I've gotten out of the G1 Legends was Megatron for, you know, obvious reasons, and I really do like that, too.
That's what I don't.
That is
the
nice.
Gun Megatron I don't have. I have the G2 Megatron, which is also not bad.
You have 5 Below out where you are?
I don't think so.
Okay, check and see if you do, because they occasionally show up at 5 Below and Tuesday morning if you see either
Ooh.
Of those anywhere.
I do have a Tuesday morning right down the road. I need to check them out.
Been a while since I've seen any here, but since they're completely random, it might be worth a shot.
Yeah, I might check that, because one of the reasons that I'm doing very well scalping here in Oklahoma City, why I'm wearing that as a badge of honor, I have no idea. Because I would have, like, kicked myself in the nads, like, 12 years ago. You're a bastard! But now I'm like, get money, I've got toys!
JD, just remember XB's motto.
Yeah. I don't know what I was going with that. But anyway, Tuesday morning, yeah, I need to go check it out. I haven't been there. Oh, but I do, like I said, I do have this little G1 Megatron. I have an extra one. I could sell that as well if I thought it would make a markup, but it won't. So I'll just keep it. Until it will have a markup. That'll be easy.
Okay.
It won't. Nah, I'll just put it up. Like, I'll wait, and I'll put it up in, like, a year, and I'll be like, rare variant, you know, and something like that, and somebody will be like, ooh, and snatch it, and they won't even know. People do that. People, you know, put variant in there.
Mm-hmm.
Variant of other releases because it was at Dollar General.
I don't know. Too bad the Tank Megatron that's in the G2 Deco is Japanese only and thus more expensive than I want to spend for it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you could just slap some paint on this.
That would require me to paint.
This is true. Send it to Mickey. And
well, yeah, I mean,
you know. Just send it to Mickey and have him paint it. And send
it back. He already said one day out of the blue that he'd fix my Wipeout's face. And I'm like, wait, what's wrong with Wipeout's face? So apparently he looked at the picture of the review I put on T-Formers, and from that it looked to him like the silver paint was like thin and uneven. I think what it is, the blue helmet's just reflecting off the silver finish.
Oh, gosh.
But it's like he wants things to fix.
Wow. Well, if he's looking for work, man, I got plenty. You know? God. I think I finally threw it away. Like, the only time I ever tried to, like, retool or repaint, maybe there's something we can talk about if you've ever tried to retool, repaint, or part swap anything. The one thing I tried to do that on was back when the Transmetal 2 Cheetor first came out. There was not, I mean, at the time, they, you know, this was before they did like the Transmetal 2 Ravage version in black. And so I thought that was like a no-brainer because it was. It wasn't like that was original idea, but it was one I had as well. And so I decided to try to paint it black. You would be amazed at how horribly difficult that is. Because if you don't use the right paint, that thing was tacky for years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah, I am not kidding. The paint on that never set.
Yeah, you need to be careful with that.
Did you use enamel or?
I think I don't know. I think I had testers originally or whatever that stuff is, and that didn't work. So.
So it was just always tacky then every single time you touched it. You're like, ew, it's going to leave something behind.
Yeah, it was like sticky, tacky forever.
Wow.
So kind of like Universe Prowl right out of the package.
yeah.
Well, basically. And see, that's the thing, too. There was a lot of toys that year that had that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was after the big lead paint scare, wasn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
But I did this nifty thing with it though, because I needed the whole deal with those. If you think back, they had the spark crystals. So I was like, well, I need a Decepticon spark crystal. So about the cheapest Decepticon I could find was Scarum, and so. Huh?
Predacon.
Yeah, Predacon. So I needed a Predacon Spark Crystal to switch with the Maximal one. So I bought Scarum and switched them, and then, you know, like, painted this horrible, sticky, black version of Transmetal 2 Ravage, and was like, well, that's crap. And so now I had this Scarum, and I was like, well, what do I do with this? And I was like, Transmetal 2 Goldbug. And so, like, I painted it gold and, like, painted, like, the back parts that were supposed to be the shiny metal gold and did some blue touches on it and, you know, put the Maximal thing in there. It actually worked. Actually, it wasn't bad. Actually came out as a decent Transmetal 2 gold bug.
See, the problem with your black Transmetal 2 Cheetor is that you tried to repaint the Transmetal 2 Cheetor.
Yeah, that would be... Well, and imagine how horrible I felt when that figure, like, actually came out and looked good. I was like, man, I wasted all that time. Oh, well. But,
yes, but at least you ruined the Transmetal 2 Cheetor in the process. That's what matters.
This is true. I ruined... Here's the funny thing. Of the two... I was actually trying to make a Transmetal 2 Ravage and turned it into crap... And wasn't trying to make a Transmetal 2 Goldbug, and that came out really well. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Such is the life of, you know, changing.
Right, like kit bashing and, yeah.
Kit bashing.
That was my first and only attempt, too. It went so horribly wrong.
That you've never went back.
I've not yet gone back. I've thought about trying to do, like, resto and stuff, but then I realized that I'm not good at that either. So I don't.
I was working on a Star Wars figure. I'm kind of halfway through it and gave up on it for a while because, unfortunately, I have my whole family, in fact, has this genetic problem with shaky hands, and
Ooh.
That does not make for good fine painting.
So I'm gonna hope that none of you are surgeons or dentists or gynecologists.
No. my dad did used to fillet fish for a living, so...
Oh, that's like... Wow, that should be done as like a stage act. Bottom around, ladies and gentlemen. Is he going to slice his finger off? Let's find out.
Well, he probably had like a cut-proof glove, right?
Whatever. God, what's a cut-proof glove, man? I used to go.
You did not get the chainmail gloves, just in the meat department.
God, no. My family, when we used to go, we had like a. My dad has like three or four brothers, and we used to go to the lake and real quick because the show's almost over. But you know, when we would go to the lake and fish, man, no, man, it was just like bare hands and knives, like cutting fish open, guts everywhere. It was awesome, shooting turtles.
Yep.
That's how we do it in the country. So. All right. Well, I think that's it for this show. Somehow, it magically happened.
We
did get through it, and we talked about Transformers most of the time. We hardly talked about Pokemon, which is insane that happened.
And as far as I know, we avoided poop.
We did largely avoid that. If you want to hear more about that, though, you again should listen to Superhero Time.
And you can also listen to the, you know, nicer version of it on... Rescue Bots Rescue Center review.
Oh, cool. Is there poop discussion in that?
We talk about dysentery a lot.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Nice.
I'm missing
Somehow
out then.
I'm
going to go back and listen to that then now. Awesome.
You know, if you want to talk about dysentery, you should do an Oregon Trail podcast.
That's why we talked about
That's
it.
That's awesome. I'm telling you.
Get it to a Rescue Bots review.
I'm telling
great.
You.
Fantastic.
Go check out the Rescue Center.
I actually thought of Oregon Trailcast back in April, but...
God, that would have been... God, that would have been awesome. Philip from Skyjimmer, Yeah, the magazine.
Oh, ASM.
ASM. Him and I had a whole discussion one day about doing a trip to the moon version of Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
And that was actually
that would
awesome.
Be awesome.
I want to find an open source version of Oregon Trail just so I can do, like, the moon. Where it's like, you know, you've run out of oxygen.
To Kickstarter!
You've contracted space dysentery. So.
You've contracted.
The project is worth doing just so you can have space dysentery.
I know, that's the thing, is when you really need to populate space dysentery. Well, on that note, this has been Radio Free Cybertron. I will never fill in again, most likely, on this show. I do miss everybody. So if you want to hang out with me, you should join me on the other podcast I'm on, which is Superhero Time, and Fanboy Versus. So for Rob Clay, thank you for being here. XV, thank you for joining us. And Amy, thanks so much for sort of last minute hanging out with us. Hopefully it wasn't too embarrassing.
No, this was awesome. Thanks.
But everybody, thanks for listening. Go to the website, tfradio.net, and follow us on Twitter, and there's all that good social network stuff. So we'll get out of here. Yep. Have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.